This evening we come to Peter's first letter. We're going to read 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to read verses 7 through 11. And we read this as a continuation of our series of sermons on the one another passages of Scripture. This evening the Apostle Peter, prompted by the Holy Spirit, addresses the people of God, telling us that we are to serve one another. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Here's God's word. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep on loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, our hearts echo the words of the Apostle. We desire indeed, our Father, that you may be glorified, because you are the one to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. And so we come before you tonight as those who come before their Lord and Master. Our Father, we gladly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. We pray that you would instruct us and teach us what it is to be the servants of such a gracious Master, and that we would delight to serve, that we would be fruitful in service, that the Lord Jesus might be honored by our service. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll get around to it eventually. Have you ever said that? That can be a dangerous thing to say. I fully intend to do it, but not just yet. Maybe later on. If you're like me, you may have said something like that. And of course, we know the road to destruction is paved with good intentions. It's a dangerous thing to say. Don't put off doing something that needs to be done when the opportunity is there. Don't say, I've got plenty of time, I'll get round to it eventually. Peter, writing to the congregations that he's addressing in this letter, Peter says, actually, you don't have a lot of time. The clock is ticking. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, says Peter, be self-controlled and sober-minded. Time is limited. The clock is ticking. The calendar pages are turning. The people of God are not to be fuzzy in their thinking. They're not to be lazy. They're not to be dithering. The people of God are called by Peter not to put off obeying God, but to be active in serving God. We might think perhaps of the foolishness of the student who keeps on putting off his assignments and then realizes that the semester is almost at an end and the burden of those backed up assignments is going to be absolutely insurmountable. The contractor who takes his time and then can't meet the deadline and isn't going to get paid for his work. Or the Christian who says, I'll serve Jesus sometime, but not just yet. Now, that would be a strange kind of Christian indeed, the Christian who imagines that he or she can have the Lord Jesus as Savior, but not have the Lord Jesus as Master. Because those who recognize that Jesus is Savior recognize also that he is Lord and lay themselves, as Paul says, as living sacrifices in obedient service before God. It's more likely the Christian is saying, I want to serve God. I want to serve the Lord Jesus, but how do I do that? If you're that kind of Christian this evening, I want you to listen to what Peter is saying, because Peter has got some great news for you. Peter tells you that you have got God-given grace to be able to serve the Lord Jesus. Not only that, Peter provides you with some God-given guidance for your service, and also Peter sets before you God's goal for your service. So looking just at 1 Peter 4, verses 11 and 12, we want to learn those three things for our encouragement this evening. And first of all, Peter says, you have a God-given grace to serve. Brothers and sisters, if you know the Lord Jesus, if you are a new creature in Jesus Christ, then, says Peter, you are equipped to serve the Lord Jesus. Peter says in verse 10, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God, the Holy Spirit, gives to each Christian gifts with which to serve the Lord Jesus, so that every Christian is endowed with gifts from God Himself. Now, if we were to visit the congregations that Peter is addressing in his letter, we might observe that those congregations are made up of very ordinary people. In fact, when we read between the lines of Peter's letter, we get the impression that maybe these congregations are made up of people who are rather down at heel. They don't drive the nicest cars. They don't wear the most fashionable clothing. They don't necessarily come from the best parts of town. They're very ordinary people. They're people like you and me, but Peter says to them, you are fully equipped for the work that God is calling you to in Christ Jesus. Each one has received a gift, so then let him use it to serve one another as good stewards of Christ's varied grace. Now, when we think of grace, we often think of the grace that redeems and saves us, but of course that grace also equips us to serve. That grace consecrates our natural abilities. Edmund Cluny very helpfully says that every gift that is ours by creation has been touched by the Spirit in regeneration. In other words, what the fall has broken, Jesus, as He redeems you and restores you, Jesus consecrates those abilities in such a way that those abilities can be used to serve the Lord Jesus by serving His people. And so Peter has got some things to say to you right up front. Peter says you're gifted, and your gifts are very diverse. Did you notice how he speaks about God's varied grace? God loves variety. And maybe you know someone who loves tools, and they've got toolboxes that are well packed with tools. And you'll know that when those toolboxes are opened up, there's a variety of wrenches. There's a variety of screwdrivers, isn't that right? There's a whole variety of bits or sockets or blades. Some are big, some are little, some are designed for very specific purposes. But there's all kinds of variety. And all those varied and diverse parts of that toolbox are going to be important in the hands of the one who's able to use them skillfully. God equips His people with a diversity of gifts. The way in which you are gifted is not the same as the way in which the person sitting next to you in the pew or in the pew behind you is gifted. Your gifts are going to be different from theirs, but Jesus has given you gifts in order to serve Him. And Peter tells us, and here's the second thing, Peter says you're a steward of those gifts. The gifts that the Lord Jesus has given to you, He's given them to you in order that you'll be a steward of them. In other words, they're not really yours. They belong to the Lord Jesus. They are consecrated by the Lord Jesus for His service. You might think perhaps of going into your workplace to do the job of work that your employer has for you. And the employer says, here's the equipment that you're going to need to do that job. Maybe the particular tool, the expensive tool. Maybe the very sophisticated piece of technology. Maybe the very expensive bit of heavy moving equipment. Equipment that you can never afford for yourself, but your employer says, here, take this and use this to get the job done. And as you take that equipment or that tool or that piece of technology to get the job done, you know that it's not yours, that you use it as a steward. It's something that's been entrusted to you. And the Lord Jesus entrusts gifts to his people, and with those gifts gives opportunities. You're to be a steward. Remember the parable that Jesus teaches about the individuals who were given talents, and there was one who took, and they were given different talents, at least different in quantity. And one did this, invested in this way. One did that, invested in that way. And the third one, he took it, and he was not a good steward. He buried what had been given to him. You remember, his master rebuked him soundly for his poor stewardship. Well, the money wasn't his, the talent wasn't his, but he was supposed to use it. And he was severely admonished and severely punished for his unfaithful stewardship. Peter says, you are stewards of God's grace. Make good use of what God has given to you. And Peter says, you serve the Lord Jesus as you serve one another. Isn't that really something? Remember in the parable that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 25, where the sheep are surprised. When did we do this for you? When did we do that for you? When did we help you? When did we clothe you? When did we visit you? When did we feed you? When did we give you something to drink? And the Lord Jesus saying, when you did that to one of the least of these, my little ones, you did it to me. We serve the Lord Jesus by serving his people. Isn't that a great thing to have in mind as a community of God's people here, where there are a whole variety of ways to serve and opportunities to bless the people of God in the different ways that we're able to bless them, the different ways. Maybe it's being able to do this or that, baking, cooking, preparing meals, teaching, tidying, work parties, the different ways that we can serve. As we bless the people of God, we serve the Lord Jesus. And Peter says, here's some guidance for you as you get to serving. There are many, many different kinds of gifts. And Peter, in the couple of verses we have before us, gives us some different ways in which we can serve. And you'll know if you've read your New Testament that there's a whole number of different gift lists given throughout the New Testament, and they are different. Yes, there's some overlap, but we get the impression that the Lord Jesus delights to equip his people with a whole variety of different gifts. Jesus is vastly creative, and he gifts his people in different ways and enriches the church by providing it with people who have got all kinds of variety of different talents. Ed Clowney says we need to respect the rich diversity of gifts that the Lord Jesus has given to our brothers and sisters. Sometimes we look at our gift and we say, well, you can't do what I can do, so who are you? But in actual fact, we need to recognize that people are gifted in different ways and have great respect for those faithful servants who are using the diverse gifts that Jesus has given to them. It honors the Lord Jesus when you respect the different gifts that Jesus has given to his church, when you encourage individuals in their use of them, when you recognize the worth and value of those varied forms of service. But when Peter talks about gifts, you may notice here in our verse 11, Peter groups them into two categories. There are the speaking gifts, the word gifts, if you like, and there are the doing gifts, the work gifts. Because Peter knows that his readers are following along, and some of them are saying, well, I'm a doer. I'm a get-it-done kind of person. My gift is to do things. I've got the skills. I've got the know-how. I've got the expertise. Or there are people who are reading Peter's letter and saying, well, my gifts are word gifts. I've got speech gifts. I can explain stuff. I'm good at communicating. I've got fluency. I've got rhetorical skills. And Peter says, hold on a moment. Peter says, the one who speaks is to speak God's words. The one who is a doer, that person is to rely on God's strength. You see, Peter's saying, remember, as you take those gifts, as you start to put them to use, remember you are entirely dependent on God. It's God who gives the gifts, but the gifts are used in obedience to God. The one who speaks, that person's to be careful that he's speaking God's word. Remember, Jesus gives us a great example of that in himself when Jesus says, "The things I say to you are not things that I speak on my own account. The things that the Heavenly Father has given to me, those are the things I say to you." And of course, Paul took that to heart. You remember how Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, and Paul says, "We refuse to tamper with the word of God." So that when Paul, for instance, reflects back on his ministry to the Thessalonians, he says that the words you receive from us, you receive not as the words of men, but as what they really are, the words of God. Peter says, if you've got teaching gifts, if you've got speaking gifts, be careful to be sure that you're speaking the words that God gives, that you're not making things up, that you're not going off down tracks that are of your, that you have devised, promoting ideas that are your ideas. It's important, it says Peter, that you be submissive to the word of God. And you who do things, don't imagine that you're able to do things because you're just naturally gifted. Paul says, Peter says, do them in the strength that God supplies. Do that, God gives the strength use those gifts. Remember Paul saying, I can do all things through the one who gives me strength. All that Paul needed to do, that God called him to do, Paul says, God gives me strength to do those things. In other words, Peter says, as you use the gifts that God has given you, those very diverse gifts, as you use them, you're to use them with a God-centered, a God-dependent, Christ-centered humility. And that's so important for us, isn't it? Because we get to using our gifts, and sometimes we don't remember that God is the one who has entrusted those gifts to us, that God's the one who gives us strength to use them, that God's the one who guides us and instructs us on how we're to use them. It's very tempting for us to say, this is my gift, this is my ministry, this is my area of service. Peter says, actually, it's God's. It belongs to God. You are performing God's signature service. It's to glorify God. In fact, that's what Peter says is to be the goal of your service, that God be glorified. The end of verse 11. So that in everything God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who gives gifts, Jesus who consecrates those gifts and brings them into his service. So as you serve, the Lord Jesus is to be glorified. And Paul says, you can extend that into every area of life. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So we do our schoolwork to the glory of God. We do the housework to the glory of God. We glorify God in our place of work, our places of recreation, as we perform our duties as members of a family or members of a congregational family. We do so with the desire that Jesus Christ be glorified. The people of Israel building that tabernacle. And it might have seemed like a tall order that the people of Israel would build it. And lo and behold, when Moses said, this is what we're going to need, all that blue and purple and scarlet fiber, the gold, the silver, the acacia wood, the ingredients for the various ointments and oils, the ingredients for the showbread, the ram skins. When the call went out for all of those things, lo and behold, all that was needed to build the tabernacle was right there. The people had it. It was there among them. Isn't that amazing? There it was, tucked away in their tents, and the people stirred up by the Lord. Isn't that interesting? The Lord stirred them up. The people brought those things. And how are they going to get fabricated? How will they get constructed? Oh, lo and behold, here are the women who have skills in spinning and weaving, who are able to do this. And here are the craftsmen who can do that, and the jewelers who can do thus and so, and the metalsmiths. All the skills and abilities are needed to construct the tabernacle that will bring glory to God.
And God, the Holy Spirit, stirs up the hearts of his people to serve, to use the gifts that God has given them. And what a delight that is. Dan Doriani tells of how on one occasion he was speaking at a certain conference. It was a camp in some wilderness location. His young daughter was there with him, and she got to go and play while he was doing the camp speaker thing, and she really had a great time. She loved the outdoors. She loved the trees. She loved the scenery. She loved the bugs and insects, the pebbles and stones. She would bring those things back into the cabin where they were staying. And she was having a great time. She said, "Daddy, I was made for this." Brothers and sisters, you have been made to serve God. And there's great joy that comes from serving God, and great fellowship that comes from working alongside God's people in serving God. And so Peter says to us, serve one another as each one has received a gift, as good stewards of God's varied grace, because to our God belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who is worthy to be served. We pray that you would stir up our hearts as you stirred up the hearts of your people in the wilderness. And we pray that we might discover that, lo and behold, you have given us gifts to equip us to serve you by serving one another. And we pray that as we make bold by faith to deploy those gifts in serving the Lord Jesus, that we would have great delight in doing so. And that we would marvel like that young child and say, "I was made for this." And so indeed we are, because we thank you, our Heavenly Father, that we are saved by your grace through faith, not because of works, so that none of us can boast. But we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that you prepared beforehand for us to do. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.